today's Park Tucson Commission meeting. Tuesday, November 5th, it is 8:04. And so forgive me, I'm a little bit rusty at running these meetings because we haven't met for a little while, so we will just limp our way through it. Jeffrey, would you like to do the roll call, please?
Howard, here. Glenn Rousey.
Here.
Brad Hughes. Leila Latham.
Here.
Alan McInally. Hillary Maraga. Janine Warner.
Here.
Kathy Rivers. Alexis Freiland. Jim Sayer. Eric Stewart is here. We have a forum.
All right, thank you. And the next item, I have a call to the audience and see anybody. So we will move on to the approval of our minutes from July 22nd. We've been given a copy of those, so hopefully everybody has had a chance to read them.
We do have a correction.
And we do have a correction on the approval of the minutes. It was, I believe, Graham Hughes that approved to move, or that moved to approve them. So that needs to be changed. Are there any other comments or corrections on the meeting minutes from July? If not, do I have a motion to approve that with the correction?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second? Thank you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or abstentions?
Abstained, I was absent.
Okay, well, so we are going to move on to the introduction of our new Park Tucson Administrator. So I believe some people have had a chance to stand in already. Andy, I don't know if you want to give an introduction and then.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, since we haven't met in a while, I'm Andy Bemis, Deputy Director of Transportation Mobility over at Park Tucson and other divisions. Very pleased to introduce Brandon George as our new Park Tucson Administrator. I'll let you just tell more of your personal background, but I'll just say that Brandon most recently comes to us as the Director of Transportation for the Paradise Valley Unified School District up in Phoenix. He's got over a decade of experience in transportation as a transportation professional in Arizona and Maryland and elsewhere. And he's a quick study for finding out his first few weeks on the job, so welcome, Brandon.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Brandon George. Originally, like I was telling you, gentleman to my left, I'm from Compton, California. Kind of lived in Phoenix back and forth for many years. I'm a proud Sun Devil. I am aware of where I'm at. Went to law school at the University of Maryland, did 34 years, worked for Baltimore County, 20th largest school district in America, transported 82,000 students every morning, 174 schools, was over parking and meter and shuttling students there. After law school, came back, worked at Paradise Valley, was there for 6 years, first year assistant director. Last 5 years, I was director of transportation and maintenance, transported 30,000 students to and from school, 42 schools. I have a daughter, just one, her name is Brandy, and she's a junior at ASU. And I've been here for 3 weeks, everyone's been great. And I am proud to be here, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you guys.
Welcome, yeah, welcome aboard.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so we have the acting chairperson's report. I don't really have anything organized. Because it has been a number of months since we met, so I think everything's just kind of been on hold. So I don't have anything for that agenda item. The next item is a carryover from our last meeting, which is the election of a chairperson for the commission. I believe last time we met, we just decided to table the item. So it's tabled, and that table is coming around. So if there is anybody that has an interest in serving as the chairperson on the commission, your participation would be greatly appreciated. And And I will tell you.
I heard Alexis volunteering.
Isn't that how it works? Which we can absolutely do that.
Also can count itself.
Right? Yeah, we do have a couple of absent members, but this is a dangerous thing to do. And my appointment is going to be up in December, so I don't know if I'm going to be reappointed or not, so I don't really feel like I can do that. And the other option is obviously to table it again for next month. Is there any input from anyone?
I move to table it until next month.
I just second that.
All right. Yeah, so I don't know that we need to vote on that if we're going to just put it off till next month. And then the next item is in the similar vein, which is the election of a parking commission member to be on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. And I believe Jill Brammer, she was serving in that capacity
this
last time. And we've not had, we haven't had a commission member on the council since then. And I know Jill has spoken very highly of the council and enjoyed the position. So is there anybody who is interested in filling that role?
And I don't know how familiar you are, but if you want a little...
Yeah, that would be actually, that, yeah, that'd be
sorry.
Really helpful
yeah,
sure. To let us know a little bit more about what the council does.
Sure. So the Complete Streets Coordinating Council has kind of replaced what we used to have as the Citizen Transportation Advisory Commission. It's kind of our umbrella transportation advisory commission. Part Tucson, the Bicycle Advisory Committee, the Transit Task or Transit Advisory Committee, and formerly Pedestrian Advisory Committee, all kind of have seats on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. And there are also seats appointed by each mayor and council member and certain interest groups. Oh, I forgot, the Commission on Disability Issues. They really, so they have pretty broad authority actually. They're the official oversight commission for our half-cent sales tax, Prop 411. So when we make decisions about programming those funds, those all are go through the CSCC for approval. They get to weigh in on design issues on our transportation projects of all scales and sizes. When we were putting together our project list for the RTA Next initiative, for example, we have several iterations with them about what are our capital needs and what is the framework we use to prioritize those to include a regional initiative or any local kind of funding initiative. So they actually do have pretty broad authority, and it's great to have representation from this commission also to represent our interests and interests. They meet monthly. I think similar to y'all, they are due virtually most of the time, and then a couple times a year, maybe quarterly in person. And they're in the evenings on Wednesdays, last Wednesday.
Dave?
I would be willing to do this, but there's a couple of questions that would have to be answered first. My appointment to this committee. I'm one of the EDs, so I'm not. I have no time on that, but I have lost track of exactly where I am in the 8-year standard. And, I don't see the point in me being appointed if I'm only going to be there for 6 months or something. So if we could find out exactly where I'm at on my appointment, my recollection is I was about 2 years into Nikki Lee's appointment when I was appointed, and I think so was I just for about 6 years. So that's one thing. And the other thing that I want to say is, as a former chairman of the Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee, as a member of both 2006 and 2000 RTA Next, and project selection committees, I have a history with some of those people. Some of which is not been kind of free. as a practical matter, I would want to disclose that. Before, you know, but I don't have any problems going on and dealing with the people. I think we've heard okay. You know, and probably best said was we got something that was reasonable, not what anybody wanted, and it was directly about the transportation. You know, but as a practical matter, I've always been a person who thinks all modes have to be developed. And there are some people who think all modes do not have to be developed there. And I've had various conflicts more about what street development is going to happen. So, but with that disclosure, and if we can get that information, I would be
So it seems like,
what? Can we, if nothing else, know if you got 6 months left on your stop, do you stop game? Every bridge, keep us involved with that. How would your expertise with it? Good, you know, it's a big plus. So, you know, unless all of a sudden you find out that, boy, you're gone tomorrow, you know, by the time you walk on that.
Yeah, I'm willing to, you know, serve as an interim. That's the case. Not serve out the whatever time I have up here.
So we'll move this to next month then?
Well, we want to move it to next month or is there interest in appointing Dale for now?
Scoot it off our plate. Obviously, you're qualified. And if this is, you know, we have to revisit this in 6 months, we do that then.
A second.
All right. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All right, then we'll have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Or abstentions? All right. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so we are moving on. We've got the administrator's report, so I don't know if this is going to be a combination of the two of you guys or how. How you want to handle that, but yeah, we've got several items on the administrator's report, and it's a good opportunity for us all to get kind of caught up to speed.
Yeah. I didn't think it quite fair to just let Brandon jump right in, not even been present for a lot of the recent conversations, especially with mayor and council.
Right.
So I'll handle that part, and then Trudy can provide the financial report.
Yes, sir.
And then Brandon or one of the purchasing staff can do the staff.
Okay.
So. Hopefully you all saw the materials I sent out via email in advance of this meeting. Had a chance to go through those. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the conversations, the YouTube video of the council meeting, but as you are aware, they directed us to propose a parking rate increase and meter hour enforcement extension. So we prepared a letter opposing that back in August. We went to them on August 6th, and they initially reviewed this item, which at that time was wrapped up in a larger sort of transit funding issue. Different funding sources for transit. One area, especially the Ward 6 council member who was especially interested in, was looking at parking rates and the opportunity for parking revenues to support other needs, especially in the urban core, Sunlink and others. So we shared with them possible parking rate increases at that time. They told us, yes, keep going. We went back to them in October. It was October 8th or 6th, the first meeting in October, and put together a schedule of implementation based on the rates we had shown them in August that we developed with Tom. That schedule has us basically, we have to post any rate increases for 60 days as part of state statute before they would, mayor and council would actually move to implement them. So that process is going on now. They issued a notice of intent to increase the fees last month. On January 21st, they'll have a public hearing to take action on actually implementing the fees on the schedule we recommended. The schedule, and I'm wishing we had included it here, I had emailed it to you, but we can print them out or who wants to look at them today. It basically has two implementation periods, one in March and one in July. And if you'll recall, they had previously approved a sort of phased-in rate increase of different parking rates. And so some were already scheduled to go into effect in July 2026. And so we advanced the meter, the garage hourly rate from $1 to $1.25 in March. And that one has been many years. I think there's no sense we've increased the garage rate. I think we're below some of our peers in that area. And then some of the residential permits as well in March. And then in July, basically everything else, so meters to go to $1.50 an hour from $1, and extend enforcement to Sundays until 10 p.m. So that's the direction we're going. Another rationale for this, if you need materials or you missed some of our conversation, really had to do with a variety of things. One was actually reinvesting in our parking system. So they acknowledged that we have some deferred maintenance needs in our garages, our meter heads, equipment in the garages. We've cut back on some security in the garages to get out of the deficit we were in during COVID, which looks like crawled out of us. If our projections are accurate, maybe the first year that we end in the black since 2020. And so to bring back some of those things we've had to cut to get out of that hole, also to recover our costs for operating the system, to be more in line with peer communities. So we were on the mid to low end of other comparable Arizona cities, and Albuquerque, El Paso, some others of our benchmark cities. And then to reinvest any surplus revenue above that, supporting operations of the Sonic streetcar and other sort of tourism generators and attractors in the downtown core. So that's the schedule.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions on the parking area? Yeah.
So it would be helpful, like, if we're being asked to put together what we propose for future, or if staff is, and then we're looking at that, to have an actual established financials around what we want, or what Park Tucson needs to meet all those needs. We know we have deferred maintenance and we want new equipment or whatever the things are. What is the value of that? Because you have to kind of start somewhere, right? Just like I do my work life. If you want to break even to what your current expenses are, that's one thing. That's what we've been trying to do for a few years, right? Is just not get behind. Well, now let's get ahead. And how do we articulate the need for getting ahead? And what are the financial needs for that? So then we can base our rates on that. Because I personally don't like just basing rates on what's everybody else doing. What are our peers doing? Because that's not a good use of our money. Let's figure out what we need, and then we know how much we need to charge. And we've never really seen that piece, because we've just been trying to not get behind for at least the 6 years I've been involved.
And adding on to that, then if mayor and council are wanting us to provide extra funding for transit and things like that, then we also need those numbers as well.
Yeah, or we could say, to do all the things that Park Tucson needs, here's the rates. And we could go above that, and whatever that amount is gets transferred to whatever initiative, but we at least need to know that, the need of the parking system.
Thank you, Dave.
All of that was excellently said, so you covered virtually all of the questions. The one thing that I think needs to be said here, not that it's going to be on the table, okay, is there's a long-term discussion and commitment of some kind of parking structure on the 4th Avenue. And this ultimately, I'm sure, affects that. We'd like to know what at least the staff's thoughts, where that is. As a practical matter, as somebody who was chairman when this garage was built and dealt with a lot of the construction during those periods of time, those are huge chunks. I mean, we have debt that's coming that's getting paid down in the next few years from these projects, and what the department's attitude is about that potential structure. And I know we don't even have a site specific. There's been certain sites been talked about, but that's a long, I'll say, long-term dream. Okay. But I'd be interested in the department's attitude about that, and I'm sure it'll be after I'm gone.
I share the dream, and I can say now that there hasn't been much detailed conversation around it. We're really focused on that's outside of our means at the time for the moment, but I think we're getting to a place of a possible rate increase coming, and having aligned our spending to our budget for now, that maybe think retiring our debt, that we may be looking at opportunity to store something for our larger capital investor. And to your comment, Jim, it's not necessarily, we haven't done exactly what you're proposing and articulate all our needed back into rates from there. What we have done is project our revenue based on rates and then fill a need. So we started showing and then we can get into a financial conversation. Our projections were showing as we retire debt and revenue goes up, some surplus in our 5-year plan. And so we started building in some capital investments into that 5-year plan. So that A, you're right, it's kind of an articulation of our need in the budget, and B, it doesn't look like Park Tucson has a big old balance floating out there to get sort of other things when we have needs. And so we can go into that in detail in a later meeting. And so parking voucher wasn't one of them to date, but it certainly can be part of the conversation.
Is there any other information or anything that you have or that we need to have regarding the rate increases, enforcement hours, or anything like that?
We're going to be updating our website this week with that information.
Okay.
And so that it will be available for members of the public. We've had some media inquiries about it. If you'd like to share any of that feedback with Mayor and Council before they take action, like along that's what you said, we'd rather come here to get our need and set rates accordingly rather than looking at peers, whatever. You're welcome to do that, either via a letter. You have January 21st is the hearing, so you would have another meeting to be able to collaborate on a letter, or possibly to get a special meeting in early January, or by attending the public hearing or emailing them directly. And we can facilitate that communication, or you're welcome to do it as a council here.
All right, excellent. So I think we can move on to the financial report. Well, I guess before we do that, should we keep this as an agenda item for next month if there's any follow-up based upon our conversation we had, or to present additional information?
Yeah, I would think I make a motion to keep it there.
You want to pull it out of the administrative department agenda item for rates and enforcement?
Yeah, I think that's a separate item. All right, so then we'll move on to the financial report.
All right. Good morning, everyone. You should have the financial report in front of you. This is as of October 31st, 2025. First page is our revenues. And in the off-street programs, we see a reduction in our revenues over last year. And it's not actually a reduction in revenue. It was a debt service that was being reimbursed by Pima County, and that debt service has been paid off. So now that revenue is not being reimbursed by Pima County. So Pennington Garage is on point from last year. It's just that debt service. So then the second page has our other revenue other than operating. And then our operating expenses, there's not much change there. Overall, we are in the black so far in FY26 by $470,000. The third page is our budget straight lined so that we can see kind of where we're at for FY26. And then we have our pie chart of the different types of revenue, showing where who makes the most revenue and all that stuff. And then the last papers are the ending, the true ending for FY25. The last time we met, we didn't have those numbers quite shook out yet. City of Tucson's getting ready to publish the act for soon. So I believe that these are solid numbers and this is what will be published in the act for. So what it shows is that we did end in the black at the end of FY25 by $386,000. We had to absorb that budget deficit that we had entered the year in. So we're just in the red by $185,000 now.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions on the financial report? Yes.
I have a comment. So my only question was going to be pending to Rod, that you answered that one already. I'd just like to acknowledge that to get that caught up in a single fiscal year is tough, I'm sure, operationally. You know, it takes a toll on whatever you're not being able to do. So I just appreciate that folks have been able to do that.
And, you know, we did talk about debt service falling off, and there will be a 13% decrease in debt service this year for the things that have been paid off.
Okay. All right, are there any other comments or questions on the financial report? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, staffing levels.
Good morning, again.
All righty.
Currently, we have four agents.
Okay.
We have seven open positions. We recently did some interviewing. There will be four offers extended, and I want to focus on the four offers extended. We don't know if the candidates will accept it, but as of right now, they plan on hiring four people. And if that happens, then they will work with HR to hire on, and their start date will be pending. That is where we're at right now as it relates to if we're fully set up for the agents.
So, that's a doubling of the force, huh?
Yes.
I will say it's a go slow to go fast type of situation because it takes someone to go train the new people and
right.
They are less productive for a time.
Yeah.
But then ideally we have people out swimming on their own longer.
Yeah.
And GR, unless I can speak more directly to that, but yes, hopefully they turn out to be good and stick around.
Okay. Are there any comments or questions on the staffing level bringing those numbers up? Okay, and then we have subcommittee reports as our next item, and it has it's been a while since any of the subcommittees met, so you know, maybe what we can do is go through each one of these and kind of refresh our memories as to who is on what subcommittees and then when they will start meetings again. Yes?
I like that plan, and if I can add a couple comments.
Sure.
As well. Just from a staff perspective on subcommittees, I wanted to offer requests.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult on staff to have four parties after mission.
Yeah. Okay.
Commission and three subcommittees every month. Every week we're working on developing an agenda or putting a new action report together. So, don't want to discourage collaboration, coordination, or subcommittee meetings. It's just going to request that if there isn't an actionable item that month or something specific for one of the topics that people want to dig into, we postpone it or call them kind of on an as-needed basis. I don't know what the membership looks like, but also know this is a relatively small group. Can likely cover, you know, time to cover financials, marketing, whatever it is, all together.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's some openness to that, I'm trying to do a little more in these meetings, and then call subcommittees, you know, when there's an issue really that needs extra attention. We'd appreciate it from a staff perspective because it does take us some time to prepare the reports and the minutes and the time meetings.
Mm-hmm. And I think, just for from my personal perspective, you know, I think I'm on two of the subcommittees, and so if we take the time that as a, you know, committee member that we spend in the main monthly meeting and then two subcommittee meetings, you know, if we combine them, I mean, we may end up with a longer primary meeting, which is fine, and then have fewer of the subcommittee member meetings. You know, I think probably as a net, it's going to be less time consuming for the members if we have the longer, you know, main meetings and fewer subcommittee meetings. But, you know, I don't know, you know, from a perspective of, you know, kind of organizing it from staff's perspective, can we leave the subcommittees just kind of, you know, as needed and just suspend? And then if there is a, you know, an issue that comes up, say with the rates or something like that, and the finance committee needs to, a subcommittee needs to kind of work on that. And,
absolutely.
You know, just kind of call the meetings as needed. Dale,
the thing I would say is, and I think we're probably the only committee that's completely represented at this table today. It's Clint, myself, and that's the whole budget committee. And you know, I don't have a problem in going into the budget in more in depth at the meeting. How other people will feel about that, I don't know. You know, I mean, I spent 15 years as a CPA, so I get into it more than maybe other people. And I've been doing that for a long time, but again, it's just a matter of I go through those statements ahead of time, and I didn't get a chance to do this one because I've been out of town. But I go through them and come up with questions and one thing or another, and whether those questions would be tiresome to the rest of the committee is really the only question. I don't have any problem doing it one place or the other.
All of neighborhood is here. But we don't need to meet to say that Tucson High still needs help.
You know, and I mentioned with, I'm sorry.
I may have told you this before. My wife was the PTSA president at Tucson High School when my daughter was there.
And, I miss you then.
And she is 45 years old now. So that's a long-running problem. And I don't really know that there is a lot of suggestion. It's a matter of how you band-aid it together at the moment.
Well, we do have a school district former director of transportation on our team now to help go to the possible solutions there, but it does seem pretty intractable.
I agree that I get it. You know that you all need ground making reports for us. Right? It takes a lot of time. I had one with my commission and I dread it before. It's been a whole day of stuff, right? So I feel for y'all. So, but I think I'm also on two subs, obviously finance and marketing. Marketing was dormant for the longest time, right? And I think that's like, I can't speak about the other two, but clearly that one for sure can be as needed. You know, there's a special project, I think it got resurrected when we were trying to get, you know, the word out about the park around here in Jenkins. And there was some resurrection to it because trying to sell the idea of potential increases. So.
Well, and maybe what we could do on our agenda item moving forward for the subcommittee updates is at each meeting we could determine, are there any subcommittees that need to meet the following month? And so that could be our agenda item, is to identify whether any subcommittees need to meet the following month.
I think that's a good idea.
And then we can kind of make sure that any issues that need to have, you know, more attention are getting the attention that they need. But we're not, you know, we're not wasting a lot of time and resources from the city's perspective holding meetings that aren't accomplishing something. I think, do we need to kind of run through and figure out who is still on what subcommittees. I know finance is the three of us, and neighborhood is us three. And then there's the business district parking. Are there members of that one that are still on? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Was Kathy on that one?
I think Kathy's on it. It was Zach Baker, Zach Yenser, and Jill.
Okay.
So Kathy.
So that one, yeah, if we're going to end up with business district parking needs, that we will need to identify new people that would need to serve on that. And then marketing, Glenn, you're on that. And
Graham.
And
I can't remember who else.
Okay.
Janine, can I make a comment?
Yes.
So I would recommend that when those ad hoc meetings are needed, the chair just appoint some people or ask for folks that, instead of trying to keep track over the year who's on and off of a non-meeting committee, when the time comes for, you know, some finance or capital ad hoc committee to meet, then the folks that have an interest in participating in that could be called together. And we're not formalizing it to have to track it.
Okay.
And I think we can do that. I'd want to circle up with the clerk's office and make sure, can we have a, I guess we call it ad hoc revenue subcommittee, because we need to have assigned standing members.
Right.
So there is like a quorum calculation. Erica, if I'm not wrong, I think we got dinged. We were meant to have been submitting minutes and legal action reports for each of these and haven't been. So we can follow up with the clerk's office to see what the guardrails are. I'm sure subcommittees are ad hoc, but that seems totally reasonable.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then I was totally in favor of just covering topics in this general meeting that apply to those. Absolutely.
Thank you guys for talking through this. Are there any other comments or questions that we have or discussion items for the subcommittee, for subcommittees in general, I guess? All right, so moving on, we have got the vacancy report. So is this to try to, I think, identify what committee positions are open? And I don't know what those are.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have enough info. We're kind of moot right now. We're going to.
Yeah, I know we've had some people that have come off of the committee, and I'm not sure exactly which positions those are and what still needs to be have people appointed.
Jeffrey, I saw you had a list. Did that have just the appointed members or the vacancies?
Just the current
membership, okay. But I know the max number is 15.
Yes.
Yeah, we're down to 11, I think is what we have kind of figured out.
Correct.
11, but I'm not sure which four positions are open.
Yeah, so Ward 1, 5, 4 are appointed. So we're missing words 3, 6, and 2.
Oh, okay.
And that's 3.
Mm-hmm. There's one more.
More missing. Okay, the mayor.
Okay.
If mayor gets an appointment, I believe she does. Let's see. Because the other, Metro Chamber. Mm-hmm. So Zach has stepped down.
And he just recently stepped down, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, September. A couple months ago.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe that's it.
So may or may not go and do that. But we got Campus Community Relations here, University of Arizona, Marsha Foundation, Alexis, City Manager, Kathy, DTP, Holly, FAMA, Amelia, Visit Tucson, Graham, City Manager appointee, and that's it.
Okay.
What did you say, Wards 3?
2, 3, and 6.
2, 3, and 6. Okay.
We'll
check it. It's either mayor or chamber.
Okay.
We'll check the bylaws. I know in the past with other commissions, sometimes there's commissioners who have someone they know who would like to serve, they think would be good. Sometimes staff knows someone. When we haven't, we can do a kind of social media post on our, you know, city or DTM social saying, hey, you know, if you'd like a volunteer opportunity to serve, they think it's in this committee. When there are board appointees, often we reach out to that council member. We have incoming few, council member Ward 6, you know, one is serving, maybe 2 and 3, so we can reach out to them and let them know you have a vacancy. They are the ones ultimately who appoint. Sometimes they have someone in mind or they want to review the candidates. But we're definitely open to collaboration and getting the word out if you have ideas or candidates in mind. I don't know if we've done one for Port Tucson. You know, for the CSCC, for the Bike Advisory Committee in Transit, we have a very short application. You have to live in the city of Tucson. What's your background? If you're interested in the area and stuff, so we can put one of those together.
And yeah, I need to, you know, like I said, my position is going to terminate here this next month, and I have not, so I don't know if I'll get reappointed. But if she doesn't reappoint, yeah, I'm happy to stay on the committee. What is it? Is it 8 years? I think
yes.
I've been on 5, so I've got another.
So if someone has someone else in mind, we could talk to one of the other council members about your seat.
All right. And then we've got the public notice statement form that was this circulated? This was circulated before, right?
I think it was just us.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just do it.
Yeah, that is thorough.
All right, so this is this something that is needed from all of us, or just?
No,
it's just from you.
Oh, okay.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted everybody to, like, know what we were talking about, so I printed everything.
All right.
Yeah, just need to be filled out. The clerk's very diligent about getting these.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's enough.
We wanted a chair, but we don't have a chair, so Madam Vice.
Okay.
All right. Well, get to the
What
24 hour one is the best if we have any changes.
Do we have to do both of them? I mean, since we do hybrid meetings, I remember looking at this and going, I was confused as to how they intend for us to handle them if we're doing hybrid meetings. Does that matter as far as advance notice?
I don't know. It doesn't change the advance notice. I think the when I've done this in the past, it's or it's option B if you have a regular meeting, like every third Wednesday or whatever it is. And option A is if it's more as needed.
But we do have our regular.
Right.
Right. So I think we're option B.
Oh.
Option B with 24 hours.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
So on the days, then, well, I'll pull that out.
Yeah, so we're...
What are we going to do?
Tuesday.
What
Tuesday?
We can do is somebody can put together a schedule and just attach it to this.
We can?
Yeah. That's
okay.
You don't... You're never going to fill it all in.
Okay.
Yeah,
we can do that.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank
Signed and trusted.
But I think you can also write...
In blood.
Is it the third Tuesday?
You can say third Tuesday of the month.
Yeah.
Okay. And then future agenda items. I know we've talked a little bit during our meeting about agenda items, but is there anything else that we haven't discussed that we want to make sure is included for next month?
So far, I have rates and voting for a chair.
And then, yeah, we'll change the subcommittee meetings so we can just identify if there's any meetings that need to be held the following. We're going to talk to the clerk's office for we need to have static subcommittee members or that's not a point, but just hold subcommittee meetings as they
need. Yep. And we will find out how many years you have left. But in the meantime, I'll also connect you with to the students coordinate the council.
Okay. But there's another question I thought about sitting here. And that is the old question of if you're appointed
because I don't think serving as the representative of this on CSSC counts for that, but I will confirm.
That has been other people doing that. For many years, yeah, for many years, that was the case. About 10 years ago, they made a big thing about that they counted, and I don't know where it stands. So we're going to believe that.
All right.
I have a question.
Oh, yes.
Did we, I was under the understanding that we weren't doing a December commission meeting because it's the day before Christmas Eve.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Is that correct?
We certainly hope so.
I mean, that kind of
makes
sense.
Huh? Certainly hope so.
I hope so.
You wouldn't have four.
We can pick a different, you're not locked into the date you put on this form, so that makes sense.
So
we
can get
enough notice to pick a different date.
Right, so we'd either do it the week before or kick it off until January. Thank you for thinking about that. Do you guys have a preference as to whether or not to, and I think we're on track to do, you know, three virtual meetings, our next three meetings will be virtual, and we have another two before we come back and have a meeting in person. Is there any input on whether?
I think that works for me.
But is there any input on whether we want to have an early meeting in December or push it out to January?
I'd go to January. We're already at the end of November, so we'd be meeting in a couple of
weeks. All right, well, so we will skip our December meeting and reconvene in January, and I think that will be a virtual meeting, and then are we on track to meet in person in February? Is that right?
January should have been the in-person.
Right, so.
Yeah, so it would be March, would be the next in person.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that we need to cover? Because we are at the end of our agenda. If not, I will. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.